The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno and Shaka Hislop. We didn't think we'd see a better final than the World Cup. And we certainly didn't today in the Europa League. It was Sevilla against Roma, and it kind of played out as you would expect. Kind of went to script. Actually, Roma started the better of the two sides, and it would be 34 minutes on the clock as we see the two managers, a bit of a hug before the game. It would be Roma who would open the scoring here. Rakitic just kind of gave up on the ball. Lovely ball from Mancini into Dybala, who'd make it 1-0.
It was a feisty affair just to start with. Roma far more attacking to start with than I thought, and deserving of the lead. Ball won in mid-phase, Sevilla appealing for a foul. I didn't think it was. Great little ball to Dybala, and then very nice finish over the outstretched leg of Bono.
You have to wonder what Rakitic was doing. He looked to make amends, though. This was just before the break. He hits it so cleanly, denied by the inside of the post.
A couple of things about this play. The ball comes across the body of Rakitic. As you said, Dan, hits it so cleanly, you think that maybe goes off the post of the back of Rui Patricio to the back of the net. It did not.
10 minutes into the second half, it would be 1-1. An own goal by Mancini. Nice ball in from Navas.
It's really good ball in. And again, no less than Sevilla deserved. Jose Mourinho having Roma doing as Jose Mourinho always does. Get far too defensive, far too deep. And then Mancini, once that ball hits him, nothing anybody can do about it.
And the game just kind of fell apart a bit. 67 minutes in, Tammy Abraham here. Ibanez with the opportunity on the rebound. Oh, yes.
It kind of shows what the game was all about. It got disorganized, it got physical, missed chance, save. Clear it! Clear it! Mommy! Ah!
Sevilla thought they'd won a penalty then in the 75th minute. Well, Campos is brought down by Ibanez. Anthony Taylor points the spot, is told to VAR to go to the monitor, and the replay shows that Ibanez gets a little bit of the ball just there.
Yeah, and it took a couple of looks for us to see that. So I fully sympathise with Anthony Taylor pointing to the spot. VAR gets this right and telling him to review, and once he does, once you see that touch, right to wave it away. Good call.
Yep, Anthony Taylor then reverses his decision. Then, quickly up the other end, Roma felt that maybe they should have had a penalty for the handball here.
And I think they have a point. Where Anthony Taylor says that maybe the arm is too close to the body. I don't think it is. Fernando has that arm lingering away from the body. I think this should have been a penalty. Surprise that he was not asked to come and look at it.
Yep, no penalty then awarded. Roma then with a late chance, looking to win the game in 90 minutes. Belotti here, though.
Good chance, difficult volley, incredible save by Bono, who does get a hand on this and just goes wide.
Extra time was terrible. It felt like it was never going to end. Chris Smalling here, late on, with the header off the crossbar. And that was it. That was the whole action. A lot of people lying around, rolling around, messing around.
You okay, Dan?
It sounds like you didn't enjoy extra time all that much, Dan.
So we're going to penalties. Ooh, yes, there we go. Good. Look, there's everyone talking ahead of the penalties. Upsets Mancini. After the first three penalties were converted, Bono with the save.
It's a good save by Bono. Just leaves those legs trailing, even though he commits to his left. And then gets that bit of luck that he deserved.
A difficult evening for Mancini.
And then Ibanez off the post.
There's a touch. There's a touch by Bono.
Yeah, there is.
What a save.
Now, it's not the best strike from Ibanez, but there is a touch from Bono that gets there off the post and out. Sevilla, they're flying.
They most certainly are. So it's up to Montiel. Oh, who missed his opportunity. But look.
Oh, Rui Patricio.
Encroachment off the line.
And Montiel, who had scored the last penalty in the World Cup, scores the last penalty. in Europa League.
It's not bad, is it?
So it is a lot like the World Cup final day.
Yeah, see?
Carbon copy. We've been talking about this for years, I'm sure.
Sevilla, do it again in the Europa League. It is absolutely bonkers. A team that had laboured so much, of course, in La Liga, are once again Europa League champions, defeating Roma by 4-1 on penalties. All the talk going into this, of course, Sevilla have never lost the Europa League final. Mourinho's never lost the final. Who was going to blink first? And in fact, then it would be Jose Mourinho who blinked, and Sevilla are once again champions of the Europa League. It's their tournament. It's brilliant to see. Seven times they have won it. Let's welcome in then, shall we, Stuart Robson and Gab Marcotti to reflect on this. What are your reflections on this game, Stuart Robson?
Same as yours, Dan. I was hoping to see a good game. I was hoping to see some tactical understanding by Sevilla. I was hoping that Mourinho wouldn't sit back too deep, and I thought there would be a game of football breakout. But it was all about how the benches reacted, how players reacted. It was a shocking example of how football shouldn't be played. You know, the behaviour of all the players out there, and mainly the Roma players, and all the both benches, it was disgusting. And I'm always an advocate that there should never be extra time. I said it at the championship playoff final. Extra time over the years, which I've commentated on, have usually been a waste of time. And tonight was a great example of two teams that were never going to win in extra time. It was always going to go to penalties. You've got 90 minutes to win a game. Go straight to penalties afterwards.
Yeah. Tell us what you really think, Robbo. It's got harder to watch as the game went on.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with Roma. First half, Roma comes out and they're looking like the better team. They're knocking the ball around. The involvement of Dybala, who was a surprise in the starting 11, he was actually fit. And he, when he was touching the ball, looked like the best player on the field. And Roma were essentially parked in the attacking half. They score the goal. And it's almost like, well, that's it, boys. We've done what we came to do, and now we're going to go protect. And so they gave the initiative back to Sevilla, which is not a lot, because Sevilla is a team that does struggle to score goals. And so what you had is Roma essentially saying, you know what, this whole attacking thing is not for us. Sevilla, see if you can break us down. And while I suppose that that's Mourinho at his best or at his worst, depending on how you look at it, it felt like Roma had more in this match if they had been willing to push further up the field. And it's one thing to get conservative. It's another thing to just completely ignore the possibility of going on the counter or not even be a threat to go on the counter. And so eventually Sevilla, with the changes that Mendy Lever made, which I think were important, he brings in Lamela, he brings in Suso, it changes the dynamic of the team. It pushed Spinazzola back as well, because Spinazzola now had to address the presence of Jesus Nava, Lucas Ocampo, Suso, and Lamela, who were drifting over to that right-hand side. Roma had no outlet. Sevilla eventually, just some momentum alone, get a goal. And then after that, it just never really felt like anybody was going to win it, because while there may have been intensity and there may have been fighting spirit and there may have been complaining and fouling, there was a lack of quality, and that was clear to see.
Are we being too negative, Gav?
Well, I think Rob was a little too negative here. I mean, it's a final, and some people adopt the whole kind of, you know, by any means necessary Colosseum mindset. That's what Jose Mourinho's done all year. It's worked for him. He'll probably look back on this, and by the way, disclaimer, I will disagree with him, but he'll look back on this and he'll say, okay, well, we both scored one goal. We both hit the woodwork. And then the other, but then we also had two big chances, right? The Belotti one with the Bono save, and then that crazy goal mouth scramble that we all giggled at. And then he'll look at it and say, job done. And the reality is, you know, that might have worked at some point in the past. In a game like this, it doesn't work. And then I think, as Ali and Robbo pointed out, you can't sit and defend this deep against a team that may have trouble scoring goals, but they do have individuals. The other thing, which to me is frankly mystifying, is for the last 6 weeks, he's put all his eggs in the Europa League basket. He's rested players in Serie A. How is it possible that his actual footballers, you know, the guys who can actually play, like Pellegrini, like Tammy Abraham a little bit, none of these guys can last even 90 minutes? When I saw Pellegrini, when I saw Abraham go off, and I saw Belotti come on, Belotti, who, you know, is Roma's reserve center forward, and who this season has scored as many league goals as you have, Dan, I'm thinking to myself, all right, are you just giving up on scoring here? That's what I find odd. I don't understand. I know, you know, sports science, all this stuff. Why can't these guys last 90 minutes? We're not talking about Dybala here because he came into the game injured. It just seemed weird to me. And then a word on Gini Wijnaldum. I don't know if he was just mentally not there, but I mean, rarely have I seen a substitute come on, an experienced substitute, and contribute so little. So, but yeah, well done Sevilla. I think based on the run of play, they deserve this one.
I think that's the overarching sentiment here, that congrats to Sevilla for getting it over the line. And while I think we all wanted to see a whole lot more from both these teams, given their pedigree, this is a Jose Mourinho Roma. And while it was surprising, particularly the first half, let's take it in its entirety, how attack-minded they were, then all of a sudden they regressed to the norm. And truth be told, Bono makes an incredible save from Belotti. Smalling hits the crossbar. You just know, had that gone in, all the discussion would have been, this is exactly Jose Mourinho. This is how he's built an entire managerial career, by one of those chances just going in. In the greater context around football, again, I thought Sevilla were better, or at the very least a whole lot braver. So credit to them, and I'm happy to not be having that discussion about just being negative and hoping for one break.
How does this happen, Robbo? Sevilla are not a very good team. Mm. You know, we've seen them a lot in La Liga. Like, how has Sevilla once again won the Europa League?
Well, obviously, the new manager, Mendilibar, came in and he's done a good job with them. And I have to say, he made some very good stuff. Ali's just mentioned it about the substitutions he made at halftime. It was no surprise that he brought on Lamela and Suso, but it's how he played them. And they created an overload on the right-hand side. Suddenly, they had a bit of space to play down that right-hand side. At times, they had three players out there and it gave them time to set up a cross. And then they got more players in the box. In the first half, Hill and Ocampos were too wide and it left Nazeri up front by himself. Oliver Torres just didn't get involved in the game. The two centre midfield players were too deep and the two fullbacks didn't get high enough up the field. In the second half, he changed all that. He said, OK, Navas and Telles play high. The two wide players, Lamela and Suso, played closer to Nazeri. Ocampos played through the middle at times and they looked a much better outfit. So he changed the tactics to make Sevilla better. Mourinho didn't. He went to the opposite way and made them easier to play against.
It's ridiculous, Ali. It doesn't make any sense.
No, especially...
Look, they're United, mm-hmm. Juventus, Roma.
Right. And certainly against Manchester United, they would have been a team that you would have said, yeah, this is a step too far. This is too much. Given how Manchester United were playing at that time, and given the fact that Manchester United had just beaten Barcelona to get into a position in which now they felt like they were the favorites in the competition. And you just think of how much Manchester United outplayed Sevilla in the first leg, and yet they walk out of Old Trafford with a result, and you go, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. And I'll take it back even further. If you watch Sevilla play in the early part of the season with Jorge Sampaoli, there was no structure. Mm. There was no identity. There was nothing. To the point to where Sevilla were in the conversation, just like Valencia was, in relegation. Valencia, they stay there a little longer. Sevilla, once Jose Luis Mendilibar came, they got structure. They got identity. And he started leaning again on some of the players that have been Sevilla staples over the last few years. And that's Jesus Navas, and that's Lucas Ocampo, and players like Rakitic. And look, we're going to trust our identity. We're going to trust our plan. We're going to have organization, which they didn't have under Sampaoli. And then you see a team that, because they have enough quality and enough players that can knock the ball around, the totality of their team will get forward, will push forward. Their limitation has been scoring goals. But in terms of what you see from Sevilla, what they were at the early part of the season and what they became, is completely two different teams.
Handball or no handball, Shane?
I'm okay with the no call. And listen, I know Ali disagrees with me. I feel the arm is in a natural silhouette, is the term that they use. There wasn't too much extension for me. It comes down quickly. I'm okay with the no call.
May I present what I think is an issue here for me? Fernando is well away from Nemanja Matić.
Yeah.
He is probably 10, 15 yards. So he has enough time to react to the cross, to react to the service, and he just leaves that arm hanging out there. And it's far enough away from the body that, in my opinion, at the very least, you have the referee go and take a look at it. Mm. And that didn't even happen. That was surprising.
To that point, I see it the other way, in that I think it's close enough. This is in silhouette. And yes, the ball does come a long way. But I don't think in this circumstance it's on the responsibility of the player to move his arm.
This is far too polite.
Well,
I hear what you're saying.
Yes. I beg to agree to disagree with my learned friend.
Robbo, penalty or not?
I wouldn't give a penalty, but I can understand why people would, because in most of the leagues that we've seen this season, a penalty would have been given. I personally wouldn't give it as a penalty, but a lot of referees would.
What next for Mourinho, Gab?
It's a really good question. He has another year left on his contract with Roma. He started, you know, back in February, saying, "Well, you know, I've never gone into the final year of my contract." You know, sort of suggesting they should sit down and go and extend his deal. Roma's owners, the Friedkins, said, no. We signed you up for 3 years for a reason. If we're going to talk extension, we're going to do it at the end of the season, not now in February. And he kind of moped and whatever. But I'll tell you what, now the season's over, they're going to have to make a call. He said he doesn't like working when he just has a year left on his contract. We'll see if that's the case. If somebody else comes into him, I think if he'd won the Europa League, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody had stepped forward for him. Like this, I'm not so sure. Because, you know, frankly, they have a big wage bill. They didn't spend a lot of money this year, but they spent a lot of money the year before. And, you know, some people are even cracking jokes that, you know, Mourinho got himself booked and suspended in the last Serie A game, so he wouldn't even have to show up this weekend. I'm sure he will be there, and I'm sure, you know, the Roma fans who do love him and appreciate him will give him a big ovation. But beyond that, I don't know. It's anybody's guess.
That means now, by the way, Sevilla winning, that La Liga will have 5 representatives in the Champions League next season, along with Barca, Real Madrid, Atleti and Real Sociedad.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without a doubt, it's going to be a fascinating summer once again, isn't it, for Chelsea? A really good article over on the website from James Olley, breaking down where it's all gone wrong and what the future holds at Stamford Bridge. Just an excerpt here. The new owners have presided over a 12th place finish in the Premier League, with the Blues' lowest points tally since the 87-88 season when they were relegated. They've sacked 2 managers, ended up trophyless for only the second time since 2016. 2019 and are without any European football next season. Apart from that, it all looks good for Chelsea. Let's welcome in the man himself, James Ollie, joins us along with Gab and Robbo. We could basically spend the whole time that that Europa League final took to speaking about Chelsea and where it's gone wrong and what happens next. But let's just focus first on their desperate need for goals. Only four more teams scored less goals in the Premier League this season than Chelsea. It was apparent from day one that they needed a number nine. Obviously, nothing happened. They have a number nine coming back who has been playing in Italy. What does Pochettino want to do with Lukaku, James?
Well, he wants to talk to him. I mean, it's a difficult situation for a number of reasons. He kind of torched his relationship with the Chelsea supporters. Obviously, a lot of the coaching staff, all the coaching staff have basically gone now that he was unhappy with, Thomas Tuchel and his backroom staff. So there is a chance for a clean slate there. But I think it's really a case of whether he wants to try and have another go at being the new Didier Drogba. That was kind of how it was sold to us when he came back the second time. He didn't nail it when he was in his first spell at Chelsea, but he said when he came back, Drogba's been his idol. He wanted to go and emulate him at Stamford Bridge. I mean, of course, Chelsea, although it's not, I don't think it's been publicly confirmed, but they are going to sign Christopher Nkunku from Red Bull Leipzig. And I think the expectation is that he will be a central part of their attack next season. So it's a question also whether Lukaku's prepared to fight for his place. I don't think he's necessarily going to walk in and just get his, you know, get his starting position. And Pochettino, I think with all the players who are coming back, and the core group that they're going to keep there at Chelsea, he's going to sit down and try and talk with all of them over the summer to see where they fit in and whether they want to be part of it. Because I think, you know, there's been, as that article alludes to, there's been so much transition in the last sort of 12 months. I think what they want to do now is strip that squad down to a core group who want to be there for the long term and really try and form a cohesive team that can go and ultimately challenge for the Premier League and Champions League again, as Chelsea have done in the last 20-odd years. It's a question of whether Lukaku wants to be part of that and whether Pochettino thinks he can find a home for him.
What do you think, Gab? First game of the season, Lukaku is there?
It's so tricky. Yeah. Look, I mean, after he wins the Champions League with Inter next weekend, you know, then it's all going to be downhill from there, right? The tricky part here is, and you know, I'm not saying this in jest, is that even if he wanted to stay at Inter, it's not clear at all that Inter can afford him. You know, even on loan. I mean, that's how dire the situation is. The Nkunku deal, which I don't know if it's a weird Chelsea thing, like how they told everybody that Pochettino was coming but didn't actually announce it until weeks later, and he's not actually going to start working until July 1st, apparently. The Nkunku thing, we all assume, is done, but weirdly, nobody's confirming it on the record, which seems really, really odd given the circumstances. I would have thought Nkunku's played second striker all year at Leipzig, which would suggest to me that he's going to play as part of the front too. So is it Nkunku and Lukaku? Is it Nkunku and Havertz? Is it Nkunku and Raheem Sterling? What do you do with all those wingers if you play a front too? There's so many question marks that even thinking in terms of does Lukaku fit, I think feels a little bit premature. I do hope he also takes a look at a guy who I think is a big future if he's fit at Stamford Bridge, and that's Armando Broja, because I think he can do a lot of the things that Lukaku can do, at least you know, off the bench or in certain games.
Fio Pochettino, what do you do with Lukaku, Robbo?
Lukaku is a player that can only play when he's got the backing of a manager, when everybody loves him. We saw that at Inter a couple of years ago, where he was unplayable almost under Antonio Conte, and everything went through him. He then went with Tuchel and it didn't quite work out for him there. If Pochettino really fancies him as a player and gets right behind him and tells him what a great player he is, and I'm going to play everything through you and you're going to be our leader, I think Lukaku can still do a really top-class job for Chelsea. But it's up to Pochettino. He's got to be ruthless with his squad, and he's got to make his decisions fairly quickly. And Lukaku, if he wants him, he's almost got to baby him at times, because that's what Lukaku needs.
Ali, you've seen a lot of Leipzig. Of course, Nkunku's been injured for quite a bit of the season. What does he offer, and what role does he play?
Well, He can be a winger, he can play an underneath guy, but mostly he's a guy that plays off the shoulder of defenders. But as Guy was alluding to in terms of what he does, he has a tendency to float around in the front line.
Right.
So it's not a guy that you can consider a back-to-goal focal point in the attack. No, he likes the freedom to pop on the right-hand side, on the left-hand side, he'll be in the middle, he'll be underneath, he'll get in behind, he'll look to combine. Now, he's a really good player, explosive player, dangerous player, and a guy who has been really productive for Leipzig. There is no doubt about that at all. Now, in terms of what his role will be, if you think this guy is just going to be a focal point, then you got to look elsewhere. That's not what Nkunku does, and if you have that expectation, anybody at Chelsea has that expectation that that's what Nkunku will do, that's not his role. He's a guy that, again, will like to get on the ball on many different areas in that front, in the attacking half, and it's important for him to have somebody to combine, to have somebody who will understand his game. In fact, to have somebody who he can play the ball into, that guy be the focal point of the attack, and he's running off of that hold-up play. He's not going to be the guy playing with his back to goal.
We've discussed a lot, haven't we? If Chelsea want to bring in new faces, they have to get rid of a lot of old ones before the start of the new season. Here are just some of the names. When you take a look at the speculation that they could be leaving, I won't go through them all, James, because I know it's late for you in England. You don't need that in your life. Let's start off with Kai Havertz, shall we? 80 million, of course, scored in the Champions League final. Terrible last season.
Yeah, and has probably had long enough in England to really, have proved himself regardless of the manager and the system that he's been asked to play. And it's never quite happened for him because he scored the goal in the Champions League final. So he's ever going to be remembered positively by Chelsea fans just for that moment alone. But I think he's one that will probably get moved on. Look, these are decisions that are kind of, I know, as Gav said, he's not technically starting work until July the 1st, but don't think Pochettino's not already having quite a heavy influence in the decisions that are being made about who stays and who goes. And so these calls are being kind of made pretty much as we speak. And I think Havertz will be one that he's an asset that they can, sell for some good money. Mason Mount, I think, is another one who will leave. It looks like he might be going to Manchester United. Mateo Kovacic is probably going to go to Manchester City. We've learned tonight that City have opened talks with Chelsea over Kovacic. He's only got a year left on his deal. And actually, I think that's a significant factor with Chelsea. I don't think they're going to implement it as a policy, if you like, but they're certainly not going to allow anyone to go for free if they can possibly afford it. Kovacic has got a year left on his contract. Mason Mount has got a year left in his contract. They don't look like signing extensions. They've tried with Mount. They haven't got anywhere. They've not really tried with Kovacic, so I think they're going to cut their losses on those two. Aubameyang, I think he's a certainty to leave. I think it's just a case of how he goes and where he goes, whether they rip up his contract if they can't find a buyer. Hal Felix, we know, is already going back to Atletico Madrid. That's public knowledge. And Christian Pulisic, of course, is another one whose career is kind of completely stalled. And the word is at the moment that they'll take pretty much what they can get for him. I think a cut price, 20, 25 million pounds is enough for Chelsea to do business there. So they're under quite a lot of pressure. Look, I mean, you speak to people around the club, they play down the idea that financial fair play is an issue for them, but you just look at the numbers and it doesn't stack up. You know, they've spent 600 million in a year. They had 31 first team players before the loan players came back. It's just too many. They're going to have to sell 10 players, maybe more. If they can't sell them, get them out on loan. As I say, maybe in Aubameyang's contract, they find an agreement to rip up his contract. But they've got to get these players off the books. They've got to get the wage bill down. They've got no European football next season. And we've talked, I think, a little bit before about how Pochettino's not under the immediate pressure that a lot of other Chelsea managers would be in the past, because this is a new club, new ownership. And of course, they've fallen so far as a club that I don't think anybody here would realistically expect them to be trying to win the league next season. However, there is a financial pressure. They do need to get back in the Champions League. Stamford Bridge is not a huge stadium. They don't generate the match day revenue that many of their big rivals do. And they can't afford a second season out of the Champions League, really. So he's got to streamline this group. I think part of the reason that the announcement took a bit of time was there needed to be an agreement on all sides about this core of group, who they were going to be. And really, it's quite obvious to see. It's the players who've been signed, young players on big money, on long-term contracts. So we're talking Enzo Fernandez, we're talking Mykhailo Mudryk, we're talking Badiashile, Wesley Fofana. These players who've been brought in, who they see now as this core group. And whoever the manager was going to be, he had to work with that group. The more kind of extraneous players, the more judgment calls, if you like, are the ones that are now being told they can go, and Pochettino's having his influence there.
Pull a stick to Juventus, Gab. Where's this come from?
I have no idea, and I think we can put that to one side. Juventus, I think, have far bigger problems, far bigger issues, including legal ones. One guy that I agree with what James said, by the way, but one guy we didn't even mention is N'Golo Kanté, who, of course, his contract is up as well. And I think people are talking about center forward. I'd worry about midfield, because if Mount and Kovacic go, N'Golo Kanté's out of contract, Zakaria is going to go back to Juve, they're going to be left with Conor Gallagher and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Certainly Loftus-Cheek's contract is in 2025. Enzo's very good. He's very expensive. He can't just simply play midfield by himself. You can't have five guys at the back, Enzo by himself in the middle of the park, four guys up front. They're going to have to either extend some contracts or bring in some midfielder. Weirdly, with all the players they have, that is the one position where they're extremely light going into next season.
Pulisic, I'm going back there, Shaq.
Okay.
I'm pursuing this. Where would he fit in? What level?
I think mid-table Premier League. I'm with Gab in that the Juventus thing doesn't make sense. If I'm one of the big clubs in English football, he doesn't fit in either. Sometimes you just have to find that level, and I think that level is a little bit lower down in the league for Christian Pulisic. Otherwise, I'm not sure where the interest comes from.
What do you think, Robbo?
He's got to go somewhere or he's going to play every week. And that's obviously not being Chelsea. So he's a mid-table Premier League club, maybe even a bit lower, where he's going to go and be the star. You know, he's going to play every week. He's going to create goals. He's going to score goals. And suddenly he'll build his confidence back up. The crowd will love him. And he'll be the player that everybody thinks he should be.
And stay fit. That needs to be certainly his priority. Chelsea will dominate, no doubt, the conversation over the next couple of months. Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest transfer news. Check out Transfer Talk over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pep Guardiola is your LMA Manager of the Year. The vote was confirmed today. Of course, Manchester City looking for the treble. They've got one part of it at the moment. Second part could be fulfilled this weekend in the FA Cup final. Stuart Robson, Pep Guardiola, Manager of the Year for you?
Absolutely. I mean, he's shown once again. They didn't have a great start, but he's shown once again he's got the right tactics. He's changed the system. He's innovative. We see different things coming from him. He gets the best out of players most of the time. He has little spells where he drops people. They come back and they seem to have improved when they come back into the side. He's done most things right. And I think he will probably win the treble. And and why wouldn't he be a manager of the year? He's a magnificent manager. It seems to be a good a leader of the players, but also a great tactician. And he's somebody that innovates.
If Don was here, he would shout at you, Robbo, and say Eddie Howe.
Yeah, he could shout as much as he likes, but then I don't take much notice of Don.
Standard.
Eddie Howe's done a good job. Of course Eddie Howe's done a good job, but it's not as good as Pep Guardiola.
James?
Yeah, we did our sort of end of season awards at ESPN, and I did struggle with this one a little bit. Eddie Howe, I think, has done a fantastic job. Arteta did a great job for, well, most of the season. Then obviously they fell away at the end. I think Roberto De Zerbi, the job he's done at Brighton is incredible, getting them into Europe. But I just think if Guardiola does the treble, you know, the second English club ever to do it, juggling what they've done, integrating Haaland, everything that Robbo said, no need to repeat it really, we all know how good he is. I think if they win the treble, it's hands down Guardiola. I think if he just, quote unquote, just wins the league, then I think you could argue Eddie Howe quite strongly, and as I say, maybe De Zerbi as well, but yeah, they look like they're going to win the treble, so I think it has to be Guardiola.
Mr. Marcotti.
Yeah, I mean, what he says, if everybody assumes you win the treble, you do it in this way. But, you know, the reality is these managers are playing different sports. I want to give a shout out to Gary O'Neill, for example, for keeping Bournemouth up. That is a huge, huge feat. The same way Eddie Howe getting Newcastle into third, and Pep on his way to winning the treble. These managers, they're not, we can call them all managers, but they're all doing different jobs with different resources. So I have no issue with Guardiola winning it.
All juggling different balls, Ali.
Oh, it's a lot of that going on in my house.
Yeah.
look, I mean, at the beginning of the season, Manchester City was our pick to win the league. And they've gone on to win the league. The fact that potentially they're going to win the FA Cup and potentially they're going to win Champions League, are we surprised about this? Not really. I think we've come to expect that Guardiola teams are going to be in this conversation. And so I think what Eddie Howe did with Newcastle is something.
Oh, take that, Robbo.
Something kind of special.
Shout the Robbo. Shout the Robbo.
No, I'm not going to shout.
Robbo
gets excited and he's going to shout at me. He gets really mean. I don't want that in my life. I don't need that in my life. All I'm saying is that it's difficult to look past Eddie Howe in terms of what Newcastle has become. And where they were and where they are is, I think it's a significant jump, and Eddie Howe's in the middle of all of that.
Listen, I think right now, Pep Guardiola, it's beyond me. Given
what about Eddie Howe?
Hold on, I'll get to that. Given where City winning the league and that they're in two cup finals and they're favourites to do that. But to Ali's point, I think before the season started, you would have had City as favourite in all three of those competitions. Maybe not altogether. If we have this conversation in 2 weeks' time, and City don't add to their silverware, and all of a sudden we're talking about City winning one trophy, United winning two, and Eddie Howe then gets dragged back into this conversation, given everything that he's done, then I think we have a genuine debate. But as of right now...
This is just Premier League.
As of right now, I don't think you look further than Pep Guardiola at all.
Of course, as you said, Manchester City in action against Manchester United in the FA Cup final, looking for that second part of the treble. A lot of speculation about Manchester United's captain's future. Harry Maguire linked away from Old Trafford. This is what Ten Hag had to say. Let's say I'm happy he's here. When we needed him, he did his job. But it's also a decision he has to make. No one will be happy with being on the bench. He is not.
Well, that's
as
not
well.
An endorsement.
Well, it started nicely.
and then it drifted.
West Ham, James?
Well, firstly, he's got to decide whether he's actually going to show some ambition and leave. I think he's had the opportunity to go before now, and he decided he wanted to stay at Manchester United, play the odd game. Maybe he thought he could convince Erik ten Hag that he would still be part of his plans. And I think also the fact that there was a World Cup in the middle of the season helped him really make that decision, because it's not as if he had to get to, say, this summer, and there's a tournament this summer and he had to have played all the way through. You know, he played a few games for United at the start of this season. So he thought, well, I could keep my eye in, and I'll play the odd cup competition and I'll be fresh come Qatar in November. You know, Gareth Southgate, when he was speaking at his England squad announcement last week, he was saying, you know, we can't keep picking Harry Maguire forever if he's not playing. This is not a sustainable situation. And I do think that will play on his mind quite strongly ahead of Euro 2024. So I think he will decide eventually that he has to leave. And look, West Ham would be a logical destination for him. I think some of that would depend on whether David Moyes stays I think Moyes is, from what I'm told, the one who would be pushing that deal, particularly if David Moyes left West Ham, then obviously there'd be question marks there. But I mean, look, I don't think he would be short of suitors in the Premier League. Maybe not at the highest level. I don't think he was ever quite an £80 million defender. I think United, by their own admission, privately overpaid at the time, and they hoped that he would grow in to be a real kind of Virgil van Dijk style leader and authority at the back. I don't think he's ever been able to do that quite as well as he did in that Premier League winning season with Leicester. But he's not a bad player. He just needs to find the right team.
Do you agree, Robbo?
Absolutely. I mean, as a player, you know, a player of his quality, and he's one of the best England players at the moment, he has to play football, and he's not going to get that football at Manchester United. So you're only happy if you're playing week in, week out, you're proving to everybody what a good player. It's not about winning trophies for him. It's about him getting his career back on track and showing what a good player he can be. And people talking about him being the England centre-half again. He needs to go to a West Ham or something. We talked about Pulisic going to a halfway down the Premier League. That's what Harry Maguire has to do.
Robbo, thank you very much. We'll see you. Thank you very much to Gab and James as well. Just a reminder, in the FA Cup final this Saturday, live on ESPN+. Kickoff is at 10 a.m. Eastern. Our coverage starts at 8:30.
Oh, hello.
Oh, what a preview we're going to have, Shaq.
Are we?
Yes, build it up more.
Oh, what a preview we're going to have, Dan. Oh,
Bring it, Shaq.
Come on. Crikey.
8:30 is early. That's early.
That's what you're looking at, Shaq? Yeah.
And then on Sunday, it's all about survival in La Liga. Of course, a number of teams, six, looking to avoid that one final spot that will see them ply their trade in the Segunda next season. Espanyol, of course, were relegated this weekend. Last weekend, it's just gone, that result against Valencia. But Espanyol had an absolute shocker when it came to some of the decisions. We spoke at length, didn't we, of what happened against Atletico Madrid, the goal that for some reason they decided to give, though it wasn't clearly over the line. And then in this Valencia game, there were some big calls as well. Stuart Robson still with us. Let's take you through the disallowed goal first, shall we? Robbo, was there enough contact on the keeper here, do you think, for it to be ruled out?
As I always say, goalkeepers are overprotected and the player jumps higher than the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper is pathetic on this occasion. It should be a goal. There's nothing wrong. The player does nothing wrong. He jumps. He doesn't go into the goalkeeper. He wins the ball in the air or he wins it off the goalkeeper's hands. It's a goal. No question about it for me.
You're a goalkeeper, Shank.
Yeah. Once upon a time. That's a goal.
Yes. Mm.
And
that hurt.
It did.
That hurt, Shaq.
That hurt. I'm flirting with my membership to the Keepers Union here, but I'm struggling to see where the foul was. In all honesty,
it's incredible. And all these decisions seem to be keep going against Espanyol. Late on, they should have had a penalty as well, shouldn't they, Ali?
I'm not so sure.
What do you mean? He kicks him. You can't kick people.
Can you not?
No.
Look, I think this is probably a foul, but the problem I think that Gilman Sano is seeing is how much Braithwaite is trying to sell this, and perhaps a little too much. And when you're trying to sell a little too much, then I think Gilman Sano is probably saying, I don't know if there's contact. Both players are going for the ball. Neither one gets to it. Eventually, on the sliding, the momentum takes the defender into the path of Braithwaite. And believe me, I have very loose standards when it comes to this.
Yeah, we know that.
I don't think this is a penalty.
Wow. Well, I coming into this, I thought it was a penalty.
Yes.
But I this is the first time in my life I have heard Ali say no penalty. Now I'm questioning so much about my entire life.
Wow. Robert, where do you stand on this?
Depends what Don says, because whatever Don says, I'd say the opposite. But no.
Don's too busy watching Italian.
Yeah, I would say, in my view, it's a penalty because Palisa doesn't get the ball and he gets a bit of Braithwaite, and it's only 5 yards out. Braithwaite should actually score, should get there first, but it's a penalty, in my view.
The referee wasn't sent to the monitor for either of them.
Now, he should have done that, by the way. Yeah, and I'm not going back on what my analysis of the play is, but he should have gone to the monitor. He should have been sent because the magnitude of the moment, what it means to both of these teams, the magnitude of potentially what that goal could have meant for Espanyol and Valencia, man, go and take a look at it.
Yes.
at the very least have that option, and then you can make your assessment. I still would not have given a penalty, but Gil Manzano should have gone to the monitor and at least take a look at it.
Of course, a win for Espanyol would have given them a puncher's chance going into the final round of matches. Of course, it could have been so different if that goal wasn't given in the Atleti game. This defies belief, doesn't it, Robbo?
Well, you've got to give the goalkeeper the benefit of the doubt because you cannot be certain this goes over the line. You can't actually see it because the post is or the bar's in the way, the goalkeeper's in the way. You can't be sure. And if you can't be sure, you can't give it. So
this was the image that VAR published, of course, saying that was it.
To Robbo's point, I think that is equally deceptive. The ball's off the ground.
Yeah, it's a wrong angle. It's dead mess.
Yeah, it's
just silly.
That's a good word, Dan.
I tell you what's equally deceptive. The fact that La Liga doesn't have goal line technology.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
how is this silly. Happening? Yes, very silly. Again, cutting edge analysis.
So we will go into the final round of matches in La Liga. Goodness me, there are so many connotations as to who will be joining Elche and Espanyol in the Segunda Division. Celta Vigo take on Barcelona. Celta need a result. Valladolid against Getafe has got to be the big one, hasn't it? With both of them potentially facing relegation.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Who will Chicharito be supporting in the CONCACAF Champions League final? Well, the LA Galaxy player will be supporting Leon.
Okay.
Not LAFC. What a shock.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Chicharito.
For a lot more on that, be sure to check out... odds first.
Sell it.
Odds coming up first. Leon, because of Chicharito's backing, a slight favourite.
Okay.
Into that tie. LAFC at 11-10, of course. There are a lot more on this. A lot more serious analysis on this, actually. Be sure to check out Football Americas on ESPN+. Ali's in action tomorrow. Stuttgart.
Am I?
Taking on Hamburg. Oh. Of course, Stuttgart looking to stay in the Bundesliga. Hamburg looking to take their place. The first leg is tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern. And then on Monday, it is Hamburg against Stuttgart in the second leg, also at 2 p.m.
Super! You get shot.
Look at this.
Oh, hey, Pokal action. Hey, that's on Saturday, Dan.
Yeah.
Are you going to sell it or what?
Ali's doing?
I don't need to sell it. Look how brilliant the graphics are.
Sold.
Saturday, 1:30 Eastern. Leipzig against Frankfurt.
Are you participating in Bundesliga, Shaq?
No.
What do you mean?
And you've also got the Scottish Cup final as well. It's a big bird, isn't it? Inverness, Caledonian Thistle taking on a Celtic.
Great observation, Dan.
That's it. 12:25 Eastern on ESPN+. Right, before we go, I have a message. I have a message here. Are we starting with this?
Okay.
Yes, do we have the graphic for it or do I just read it? Okay. The referee seems Spanish. Injustice that Lamela should have had a second yellow and he converted a penalty in the shootout. I wonder who said that after the Europa League final. Jose Mourinho not happy with the officials, Gab. Surprise, surprise.
I think he completely has a point on the Lamela one. For those who don't remember, it was late in the game. Lamela just goes and barges the opponent over, I think it might have been Zaleski, doesn't even come close to the ball. And what happens is Taylor goes, and it's weird. I don't know if Ocampos did this on purpose, and if he did, he's a genius. Ocampos shouts something at Taylor, and Taylor pulls a card out and books Ocampos. Now, I know they're both sort of tall, lanky Argentine wingers, but they're different people. I wonder if Ocampos took that yellow to save Lamela from a yellow. I don't know, but in my mind, that should have been a second yellow for Lamela. Would it have changed the penalties? I don't know. Somebody else might have taken them, and Sevilla might have won anyway. I mean, that's beyond the point. But I'm not surprised Mourinho said that anyway.
Did the referee come across as Spanish to you?
Robbo?
Not really, no. All I would say is that if you moan and groan and you get all your bench appealing for every decision, you challenge every decision, eventually the referee's mind is going to be muddled. I mean, it was a disgrace the way they behaved on the side of the field. The players were a disgrace the way they got round the referee. That's everything you don't want to see in football. And I thought Roma deserved to lose the game just based on that.
Go on, Gab.
No, I just want to say, like, you know, it's funny, this whole thing, obviously, you don't want to see players surrounding referees and influencing referees and so on. It just seems funny that it always seems to happen with certain referees, and less so with other referees. Now, this was a really, really difficult match to officiate for Taylor because of the way these two teams played and all the other stuff, Dark Arts, Ale Moreno, all the stuff that we can talk about. But equally, it's a Europa League final. I don't think Taylor got the big decisions right, but I don't think he had a good game in terms of maintaining control.
We saw Roma do this in the semi-final. You can't just say it's because we saw they did exactly the same against Bayer Leverkusen, Gam.
That's fine. But what I'm saying is, when you have really, really good referees, you can go and ask Howard Webb about this. And they're on top of their game. They manage to keep control. And I know it's difficult. It's supposed to be difficult. These are two difficult teams to officiate. But let's not come out and pretend that all referees are the same. I don't think in terms of maintaining the discipline on the night, I think Taylor had a really, really difficult time.
Like to add anything?
Well,
I can shake it.
To the point, I just find this to become Mourinho, and one of the things that kind of grates on you. Mm. Listen, as everybody has acknowledged, it was a difficult final. Both teams, I think, made life really difficult for all four officials. But at some time, you've got to just kind of walk away from the bitterness and the pettiness of a loss. I am okay with you being disappointed when you lose. I really think that especially somebody like Jose Mourinho, who represents so much about the game, who's lived so much, who's won so much, leave the pettiness alone. You don't need to put that in the public space. And that for me is distasteful. And before now, I would have said not worthy of comment, which
you've commented.
Yeah,
because
a lot,
because I was sitting here shaking my head, and you said, "Oh, look at you!" I'm like, because
you
it's not worthy of comment. That's why I was shaking my head.
He did congratulate Sevilla as well. To be fair,
As he should have. Also, I don't know why in the beginning of this conversation, as Gab was going through some of the negatives about the game, said Dark Arts, and then put my name in. I'd said nothing. I did nothing.
You have a school.
Huh?
You have a school.
Yeah, but... Hey,
you have the Hogwarts of Dark Arts.
Oh, well. Okay.
There we go. That's a nice way to end the show.
Okay.
I think that's perfect. Thank you very much.
Bagging school, actually.
Gab, you can go. That's it. Okay. You can go to bed now. Robbo, you get to stay up late.
Oh. Yay!
Bravo!
That's because you had to go at extra time during the show. Now you have to be on extra time. Wait, quote unquote, you say nothing happens. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Ali, Shaka, Robbo, all here. Oh, just getting over the excitement of the Europa League final. What a wonderful, dramatic thing.
What's that kind of funny looking hand gesture?
Just... bit of a jazz hand.
Oh,
I just felt it just needed like the whole thing to emphasize.
Yeah, okay. How come you didn't get...
Move on.
You got big hands though, Shaq.
Shaq has got massive hands.
That could be really big jazz hands. You're not
Robbo,
participating.
Do you want to get some jazz hands?
Come on, Robbo.
Oh, my God!
Can you see it?
Player.
It's the first player. And last time you'll ever see
it. You are selfish. Selfish, Shaka. Selfish.
Shaka, how is the 5K training going? Any tips from Jan on how to make sure you don't lose to sea creatures?
I went for a run a couple of days ago.
Okay, how was it?
Long and hard.
Okay.
Actually, how long was it?
Around 5K.
Okay.
Very slowly, admittedly.
When is this race?
Sunday.
Is it, Shaka?
It's Sunday. I'm still in pain.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
Is it for charity or anything?
Yeah, Yeah. Well, for charity. Oh. I can't remember which charity.
Shaq. Oh, good, Shaq. Nice. Shaq.
But you don't, if you haven't run in terms of your preparation, you don't actually run the distance that you're going to run in that preparation so close to the race, because obviously you're going to be hurting when the race starts.
Okay. And what's your time? What, you going for like under 30 minutes?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get 30 minutes.
Under 30.
I think if I get 30 minutes, I'd be really happy with that.
Okay, all right, that's it.
Right now, I'm a long way.
Set the bar quite low, Shaq.
I always lose and I'm struggling.
Robert,
to
you can't run because your legs are bad, but you can row.
Oh, I can row. Yeah, I can row. I did a 10K this morning.
Whoa.
10K row this morning, so yeah, all good. Unfortunately, Dan, I need a new kneecap, I've just been told. So, running
is certainly out. Oh, why? Did you lose that?
It fell out somewhere along the way.
You know when it fell out?
Oh, no.
When he was carrying Gavin that boat in Madrid.
Yeah. Hey, that's coming up to the anniversary of that. It came up in my, in my memory. So when we were
away. I didn't hear a splash. Yeah. I'm trying to rub with
Gab's gone now, so I can say what I like. I mean, how was I ever going to win that race with him in my boat?
You were ill on that trip, weren't you, Robbo? Moaning about your cough. Well,
not surprising, trying to get have along that water.
Oh. Ali, who would be a better replacement for Benzema? Mbappe or Kane?
Harry Kane.
Oh.
Yeah. You already have a guy in Vinicius Jr. who does a similar job, perhaps better or worse, whatever the case may be, but it's a similar job to Kylian Mbappe. Mbappe doesn't want to play down the middle, right? That was a big issue of PSG. I don't want to play down the middle. I want to have freedom. Okay, Vini Jr. has that freedom down the left-hand side. You need somebody to take the position of Karim Benzema. And in terms of styles, it is very clear to me that Harry Kane is closer to what Karim Benzema does than what Kylian Mbappe would do.
Robert, we have been scathing of Harry Kane and his decision to stay at Spurs, if indeed that is what he decides to do. Does any part of you understand why he would stay there?
Yes, absolutely. Because I always think that some players are happy where they are. They're happy in their home environment. And sometimes you move on, you don't become the same player. We've seen it with Fernando Torres when he went from Liverpool to Chelsea. He couldn't find his feet at Chelsea. He became a joke figure at Chelsea, where he was a brilliant player at Liverpool. And I've seen many players do that. If you're the kingpin at a club, you know, you hope that you can take them on to the next level. And I know Gab would agree with me. It's not all about you winning trophies. It's about you being the best player you can possibly be. And that hopefully wins you trophies at the club you're at and gives you the England recognition or your international recognition. And I can see why he'd stay there. But Tottenham at the moment is a club in disarray. So I would, if I was Harry Kane, move on.
How many Europa League titles, Shaka, would equal a Champions League title?
I don't know.
None.
Yeah, that's what I don't know if any do as well as the books.
Yeah. It's Europa League.
Yeah. You answered your own question, Dad.
Well, it wasn't my question, this person sent it in, and then you were kind of, I don't know, you paused.
Very non-committal to the answer.
I was trying to understand the question. It didn't make a whole lot of sense.
The suggestion is that maybe 10 Europa Leagues.
So like a Sevilla winning all these Europa Leagues, so therefore, no.
They would give them all in tomorrow if you get a Champions League one.
They love the Europa League, though.
Well, not as much as they love winning the Champions League, surely. And I'll say, oh, actually, we prefer to win the Europa League again.
I was reading, though, a stat that in terms, leading to this match, that in terms of European trophies, major European trophies, by Sevilla winning their seventh, now they're in a category with teams like Real Madrid, Barcelona, we're talking about Bayern Munich and Milan. And I mean, that's an incredible company to be in, but when you put them all together, you kind of go, well,
big asterisk next to that.
Well, I'm sure there is that. I'm just saying in terms of European trophies, I didn't say, I didn't say that Sevilla was at that level. I'm merely acknowledging the fact that this is a team that has won the competition seven times. That's a positive. We cannot turn that into a negative. No, even in this show, we cannot turn
positive,
that into
a negative. You can't use them in the same breath as Milan.
You get invited to the party, but nobody's talking to you.
No. You get invited to the party.
Nobody's buying you a drink.
You sit on that table. Yeah, you sit over there.
That's Robo at every party.
You sit with Robo over there.
You sit with Robo. He's just I can really roll. I'm good at rowing.
I need a new knee.
Damn. Dear me. When will you get a new knee?
Oh, within the next 2 years, depending.
Oh, man. Is that Tesco's job? Where'd you get that?
Probably.
Right. Robbo, if you had to pick a Premier League comeback player of the year, who do you pick? I've got some names for you.
Yeah, give me some names.
Rashford, yep. Shaw, Xhaka. Or someone else.
Xhaka? Xhaka. I thought you meant Xhaka. His lot. I mean, where's he come back? No, I would definitely go with Rashford. I watched him play last season, the previous season of this one, and he was next to hopeless. He'd lost all his confidence. The crowd were booing him. I couldn't see any club taking him at that time. He couldn't do anything right. And this season, he's scored goals. He's looked a top-class player. He's been confident. It's been a magnificent comeback from him. And credit must go, I suppose, to him, but also to Erik ten Hag to getting the best out of him.
You see the name? Xhaka, his little credit card debt. How's that going, Xhaka?
Do you agree with Rashford?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's 100% Rashford. Honorable mention to Luke Shaw, maybe even somebody like Gabriel Jesus, I think did well for Arsenal, but just in terms of...
Yeah, Xhaka, man. This is a guy who was booed by his own fans. Everybody hated him.
What are you talking about?
Granit Xhaka.
Nah, but I think Rashford and his performances for Manchester United, 100%.
All right, but then you said honorable mention. You just didn't even acknowledge Granit.
Oh, sorry about that. Honourable mention to Granit Xhaka.
No, too late now.
His own fans were booing him, Dan. I just found out.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Stripped to the captaincy, oh, whole goodness. Shebang.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Dan. Well.
Eh? Final question. Robbo, who is the better manager, Pep or Mourinho?
In my view, there's only one name, and that's Pep Guardiola. He's a way better manager, better character, more innovative, just a better all-round coach and manager. Yeah, Pep Guardiola.
Yep.
100% Pep Guardiola.
Well, that's not even a real question. Now, let's be honest.
Can I just say that if Mourinho had gone on in his career and coach teams the way, or manage the team in the way that he managed Porto, we will be having a different conversation. People forget about how good that team was and how good to watch that team was and how entertaining they were. And then something happened. Somebody pulled the plug, the lights came off, and he has become the total opposite to that. So defensive, so conservative, and a guy that now has become bigger than his teams, which wasn't the case back then. So Pep Guardiola.
There we go. Perfect. Rob, are you on the Gavin Jules podcast tomorrow, did I hear?
I am, yeah. I'm getting up in about 4 hours' time, ready to go.
Surely you've got a couple more questions here, Dan. Yeah. Rob was raring to go.
What a professional.
It's only midnight, Rob.
Are you all right?
Yeah, Gab wants an 8 o'clock start tomorrow morning, apparently, and it takes me about 3 hours to get there, so I'm not quite sure why that's the case.
Were you rowing?
Train strikes. Train strikes. Shaka.
No. You're making fun of him.
That is it.
Well, making fun of Rob.
Yeah, you were. You said, did he go rowing?
Got bad knee.
As long as it's not Ali's. That Ali's technique is shocking. Well, I mean, what's he doing?
Oh, wow. I got Gab in my boat.
That is it. We are done. Thank you very much. Get some sleep, Robbo. Up early. ESPN FC, back on your screens. You're here tomorrow?
Oh, it's Stuttgart. Yes, come on.
Stuttgart, are you doing the show straight afterwards?
I don't think so.
I think you are.
I don't think so.
Yeah, go on, Ali.
I think I read your words, definitely.
I don't believe so.
Shaka's off tomorrow. He's not doing 2 days in a row, are you, Shaka?
I'm not here tomorrow, no.
Maybe Burley's back.
Oh, what a
chance.
Yeah. Super.
I haven't seen anything. Don't ask me about anything.